Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious uncoupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Whoo! Can you tell my energy is a little tight, guys? Yeah. A little tightly wound?
A little in a ditch. Living in a ditch. someone conked us on the head with a shovel and shoved us into an open ditch. That's how we're feeling.
A little funky, you guys. So we're coming to you just a couple of days after Mabel was attacked by another dog.
We can't really get into it, but like,
we're gonna be getting into it on the Patreon, okay?
Because
I'm telling you that right now. The Patreon is where I'm gonna just give all the tea, all the details, all of my thoughts and feelings.
Uh-huh.
But as you guys know, Mabel is the people's princess. She is the Diana of dogs. I think we're all invested in Mabel. She's a cancer survivor.
The canine of Wales.
And so when this happened, y'all, the point is Mabel is fine.
She is fine.
Mabel is fine. But of course, it was a harrowing experience. And I'm telling you, still coming down, still staring at my girl, watching her breathe.
I had PTSD a little. I don't mean to like cheapen what PTSD is. So whatever, call it like baby PTSD.
Well, still on edge. I say I'm still on edge around.
Well, when I was walking her last evening, we walked past a very friendly, very small dog. We were nowhere near us. And like, Mabel just kept looking back at the dog. Like,
yeah.
Kept checking to make sure like the dog wasn't coming at her. And I almost cried. And I'm like, okay, I'm holding in something.
Right.
There's something going on.
Yeah. I felt that way too. It was funny. The very next day after it happened, I was walking and ran into a neighbor who, we've seen a pretty decent amount of times, and literally the first thing, and he had his dog, and the first thing I was like, she was bitten, we have to go. I was like don't bring your dog near me, I can't engage. So honey, it's been a little while. Wild weekend.
I always think it's so funny when I know that you're anxious and you don't, your brain isn't working correctly and you can't articulate the words right.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, we have to go. Our dog was bit, we gotta go. And then other person is like, what the fuck just happened?
I know. It feels a real drive-by energy. I've assaulted you with something. You don't know how to function. Sorry. I'm going through it.
Drive-by trauma.
Good God. Oh, but anyway, that's where we're at. But again, Maybelline is fine.
Yes.
But are we? No. I would also like to say in this moment, no, we do not have Munchausen by proxy. We are not out here hurting this dog. She got some bad luck. Things are just a little wild in these streets. I need you to know that. Okay?
Yeah.
Trust me. I hear us when we talk.
Yes.
We talk about this dog a lot.
I did say this in an Instagram comment where I'm just like, if you are outside of this family, you would think that we are hurting the dog for sympathy.
No, I know. I almost commented on it, but then I saw you did, and I was like, okay, well, it's been said. I don't have to say it. Anyway, we've gotten some comments from Charles Rogers' episode, right?
Yes. Do you remember someone called in and they wanted to propose to their boyfriend.
Yes.
They said their boyfriend is not very sentimental. They're like a rock climber.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there anything that's like that is practical that I could propose with instead of a ring?
Yeah.
Right. And we suggested a couple different things. Yeah. I think I forget exactly what. But the listeners had so many suggestions.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to play. We have like a ton of comments. We can't play them all, but let me play one of them.
Hey, friends. I was just listening to your episode where someone is asking about an engagement with somebody who is not into the traditional things, doesn't want a ring, is kind of utilitarian about stuff. Loved the art idea, loved the travel idea, wanted to add one more. What about something like planting a tree together? Seems like maybe something up this person's alley. Maybe it could be something like you propose with the intent to plant it, and when you say yes, you do plant it, or the ceremony is planting it. I don't know. Don't need to plan it for them, but one more idea in the mix. Bye.
I love that.
I really love that.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Especially because it's like you're going to get married and then like 40 years later, you're like, yes, this is our oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is us. This is our redwood in the forest.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Another person suggested a photograph of the hardest climb or that a climb that that person wants to do.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To maybe motivate them.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone should... When you comment, say something like, it's okay to say my name. Because I'm always so I'm like, well, I don't know if they want to be named. But like maybe you're like, hey, that was my idea. I want to make sure my name is
associated
with
that. Get their credit.
Well, another person suggested.
Yeah, a compass etched with your initials or other meaningful words, which is very cool for a climber, a traveler, a hiker.
A blanket or a quilt with a message on the tag or embroidered in the corner. I love that.
There's something I love more than a blanket.
Then they also wrote, if you know he wants something else that could be considered quote unquote functional art, like a piece of furniture or a hand carved walking stick, that a message could be burned, engraved on.
Oh.
And then, Naomi, do you want to read this one? This was an Instagram direct message.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Someone DM'd us, so excited. They said, OMG, OMG, OMG. Listening to this week's episode and screeched when I heard the question. Last year, I proposed to my now husband, and finding what to symbolize the moment with was one of the only struggles I had. I almost bought a ring, a super cool galaxy one. He builds rockets. It felt fitting.
Ooh.
But a friend asked me, quote, will you want him to wear it before the wedding? To which I said, no, that's dumb and probably awkward for him. So I looked for things he wore every day that I could upgrade and found the perfect thing.
By the way, upgrade with a shiny star emoji around it.
On either side. We love. My husband is a runner and wears an emergency contact band every time he goes out. This band lists his parents and his brother's phone numbers. They all live thousands of miles away. So what good is that even? I bought him an almost identical bracelet, slightly upgraded, aka sexier look to it, but same material and all that, and list me as the contact. Next to my number, it says wife. Smiley emoji. The bracelet costs $40. I struggled with that for a few hours, but in the end, it's not about the money or the value. It's about the gesture. So, to your listener, you don't need any physical thing, but if you want one, just pick something they use or wear every day. Could even be a mug if they love coffee or whatever, but it does not have to be jewelry. And then in all caps, yay for more women proposing!
Praise hands, praise hands,
praise hands, praise hands, praise hands,
praise hands,
praise hands, praise hands,
praise hands.
But I will. That is very nice. Thank you for sharing your story. Congrats on proposing, and that is a very cool idea. I think that's so cute and sweet. And that is, it's like meaningful, and it's like, yeah, the whole point is like something that this person's gonna have and wear, you see often. It's about renewing and refreshing your love. But I mean, let's just go back to praise hands, because
praise
I think
hands.
Praise hands is the right energy we're bringing into this episode intro, because our guests mean something to us.
Oh my God. They are the hosts of one of our favorite podcasts.
Absolutely.
As a couple and as individuals.
Absolutely. You introduced it to me early in our love, and I say they're the only two white men I like to hear talking.
Sure. There are I think two podcasts that we agree on mostly.
That's
right?
True.
One of them, Ask Rana.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then the second one, The Dollop.
Yes, honey. We got the host of The Dollop, Dave Anthony, Gareth Reynolds. Okay? They are comedians. They're writers. They are teaching me on a weekly.
Yeah.
Okay?
If you don't know The Dollop, it is an American history podcast where Dave Anthony tells a story about American history and Gareth comments on it.
Yep.
And we touch on politics. I want to, like,
Yeah.
We try never to talk about politics on the show just to give people a rest, but we touch on it, but it's more about our emotional.
The emotional feelings around politics. Yeah. It certainly felt like, how could we not with these people? Especially because, you know, if you haven't listened to The Dollop, like, and I will say again, this is some, I'm not someone who listens to history podcasts. I'm not someone who's like, let me listen to two white dudes goof a bunch. But this is so, it's so educational, but it also shows you how, like, the more things change, the more things stay the fucking same. You see where some shit starts.
Plus que change.
And it's also, you know, funny. It's funny, but it also really, there's just so many things I've learned, and there are so many episodes, so you really can just tuck right in. But anyway, this is not about an ad for The Dollop. This is an ad for us, okay? listen to Couples Therapy, starting right now. Dave and Gareth of The Dollop coming through.
Roll it. So this is a delight. The Dollop is, our, I think, our favorite podcast as a couple.
That's true. Aww. That's true. We can play that in the car and be equally satisfied.
That's nice.
I'll also say this. You know, Dollop was an introduction to me to white men talking. Okay? Because it's a lot. Like, a lot of podcasts, I always feel like I'm interrupting some goof-em-ups. You know what I mean? But because, you know, like, I am learning something, which is that America's trash, it just, like, kind of keeps me on it.
You and had to learn that?
Well, I do, but it's nice to hear other people say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky that we hate America so much that, you know, it's like, it's amazing how much, like, I did not trust white people before The Dollop, but now I genuinely am like, I cannot handle white people. Like, and people be like, you're white. I'm like, I understand.
Yeah, it's
very difficult. I understand.
It's amazing once you start excavating the depths of your own hatred for something, how there is no... I thought there would be a basement. I thought my own hatred would have some kind of floor to it.
Yes.
And it just... It's like... you know, in like a horror movie or a spy movie where they go into the building and you see them hit a secret button that's like a basement 40 floors below Earth's crust. That's like, that's what it is in
it's
my
just
heart.
Just like, boom, boom, boom. You're like, how far down is this thing? Yeah. No, well, and I think one thing that's crazy is that, like, people, like, there's so many times where people will be like, surely, Dave, you're running low on stories. And Dave will be like, no, we will never run out.
No, never.
Well, I wonder this, though, Dave, because, you know, you're like DSA, you're leftist. Were you that way always, or kind of as you started to do this work, you were like, you know what? We got to fuck some shit up, because obviously you're doing the research and you're getting it deep.
I've always been this way, you know, since high school, I guess. I read People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn when I was 16, and then it was just all over, essentially. Okay. So I've always read... Like, before the internet, I had the Udney Reader and all that stuff. Like, I was always super lefty guy, always being like, that's not what's really happening. Are you guys reading what's really going on? That's always been me.
Dave's been the scientist who's, like, predicting the meteor in the movie for, like, 30 years. And now people are like, did you hear about a meteor? And he's like, I'm going to kill you.
Well, I also am delighted because, you know, like, Gareth, it's like you're coming from, like, straight-up colonizers. You're coming from the OG and the Midwest. And so there, what makes me laugh a lot of times, too, you'll hear something, and then Gareth will be like, Jesus Christ! And I'm like, this po' babe.
Yeah. No, it would be one thing to just be, like, American, which is terrible. But, yeah, no, I am, like, of the people who are like, let's make this shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's tougher. Yeah.
Yes. No, let's make this shit. Let's turn this into shit.
Let's ruin this. Well, I do think it's amazing. Like, Thanksgiving is one where I was like, I knew it was fucked up. And then it was like, we did a lot of talking about Thanksgiving. And I was just like, yeah, why is this happening? Like, it's just, we all know that. We all know this one. And we're all like, can you pass the gravy, Grandma?
Yeah.
Now, here's the question, though. How does this... So yes. I think I'm lucky in that, like, I found a mate that is also has similar despair, similar hatred. I think Naomi and I connect more on things that we hate. There's plenty of things that connect us that we love, but I think we
it's
hate
more
things in common.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how this works in your other relationships, either friendships or romantic relationships. Dave, how long have you been married for?
16 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So
carry the one you were doing in the air.
I was just making sure I was 16 still. But she's a therapist.
Helps. Necessary.
So she has to listen to people all day talk about their despair. So I can't talk to her about despair a lot. Because she's like, okay, I'm despaired out. But she's like, I don't want to live here anymore, you know. She was a straight up liberal, but now she's like, you know, she can't talk to her liberal friends anymore about politics. Like she's come a ways, but sort of on her own, but also me just like dropping little things every once in a while. But she can't handle, she's like, it's the amount of despair that I can take in. She can't take that in, you know? So yeah.
Yeah,
she's married to a rage sponge. Yeah,
Gareth,
go ahead.
I want to ask you, okay, because this is how I do interviews, okay? I tell people what I think of them. I get them on their heels. I get them uncomfortable, and then they have to defend themselves, okay?
Oh,
that's
shit.
My hard-hitting
Jesus
approach.
Jesus Christ,
oh, man,
what the fuck
the
is this?
You're the bad cop, Ellie.
Now, Gareth, are you an F-boy?
Oh, God. I hope not. I don't think so. Yeah, I'm on my heels big time. Jesus, Naomi. I do not think I am an F-boy. No.
Dave is nodding his head in a hyperbolic manner.
Yeah, bobblehead on steroids.
No, I'm not. I mean, I am like a... Well, okay, so you talk about like how one comes to be who they are. I was raised by two people who did not like each other.
Okay.
Who, like... See, now I've made it real, and now you can't back off.
That's what we do here. That's how I get you, right? Because now you got to tell me the truth.
So I was raised with a really bad example of like how to have a relationship to the point where I was like, I'm fine. And then probably like 5 or 6 years ago, I went to a therapist, and the therapist was like, "Have you really dug into this?" And I was like, "Well, no." And he was like, "Well, why don't we?" And we talked about it for like 10 minutes. I was like, "Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, you know," I was like, "Jesus Christ, I'm walking around with this." But so I'm very like, I'm very resistant to, you know, just getting like locked into relationships and stuff. And then you combine that with the idea of like, you know, traveling a lot and being like out in the world a lot. My schedule is kind of crazy. Yeah. So I could see why you're ticking some fuckboy boxes, but I think upon further evaluation, you'd go, no, stop looking at me. You'd be like, he's not a fuckboy. I try to be like a pretty honest, open person about how I am and how my life is and shit like that. But I also, there's part of me that's like, you know, if there was someone who wanted to tame the fuckboy, that would be possible. Very tameable.
Cool, yeah. Great for them. Anyone feel like that full-time job? Ladies!
I have like a Sarah McLachlan commercial. Do you need a fuckboy?
I get that, though. But, like, I mean, that's what I assume because, you know, because you are on the road a lot and you are a gregarious person. And I just think it's like, but also it's like you are a cat dad, so I know you delicate. So it's kind of like this choice, you know what I mean? Like it's a push and pull. It's a push and pull in this all. What's the push and pull?
I have a tattoo of my cat, which tells you that who knows what's going on. Where? What am I?
Exactly.
Who am I?
Well, it's a push and pull between. It's like I want closeness. I do want some sense of like a stable connection with someone who's not Dave. But at the same time, I am.
It's feline. It's felinic.
That's
what a cat is, right? It wants connection.
Correct.
But it's also like standoffish in a
bit.
True. And there's this kind of like.
And then as we talked about, we talked about Dave petting the cat. That's how, and that's why this relationship is so bizarre. Dave will be like, I'll be like, I want to be pet. And Dave will like grab my head. And I'll be like, Jesus Christ. No, no. Yeah.
Dave, before you got married, were you, I was going to say playing the field. As I thought of the phrase, note that in my head, I was putting a gun in my mouth, in the image in my head.
Dave likes to say fishing the seas.
Fishing the seas.
Sure.
Yeah, I was. I mean, when you're a stand-up, it's easy. It's easier to meet ladies than I think normal professions. Like, you get off stage and they're like, you were funny. And you're like, okay, I was funny.
I was funny. I really was. Do you want to go talk about how funny I was over at Meet?
Yeah, so bad. I mean, I was engaged for a little while before, I don't know what, 3 years before.
How long were you engaged for?
Like 2 years.
Wow. Crazy.
How'd you meet her?
That one, the one I got engaged to, in an acting class in New York. Ooh, bad idea. Yeah. Bad
bullet
idea.
Dodge. Sure.
Yeah.
All the sure warning signs were there.
Meisner exercises.
Yeah.
So dangerous. Because, you know, the reason why we're kind of probing in this, because we are going to be answering people's questions, okay? They're coming to us, they're delicate, they need help, and they need to know where you're coming from, right? Because they know all of our business. And Lord, but like, where are you guys? How open are your hearts? You know, married to a therapist, in therapy, we love that here, obviously. We love therapy on the show. We love people who are digging deep, okay? Dave, are you in therapy, or do you say, well, I'm married to one, so it's kind of the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing. I've been in therapy before. I'm not in therapy now.
Mm-hmm. But you've done it. Yeah. You're like, I've
done the
there.
Work.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've done a bunch of 12-step stuff, Al-Anon stuff. So, yeah, I've done a bunch of,
yeah,
as I call it, that shit.
But you know how to use your words. Like, you've both learned how to use your words in your interactions with human beings.
Yeah. I think, look, this is the thing, Dave, with that I don't know if you're, if this is what... when we talk to people who we think of as kind of inscrutable, we end up projecting our own insecurities. It's the same, like talking to Tig, right? We project our insecurities on Tig. We project our insecurities on you and then react to that as opposed to you, the human being. So we're almost not reacting to Dave. We're reacting to our own insecurities projected upon you.
Wow, as if that is... so amazing to be able to realize that. I don't think I'll ever get there. So Dave could just, we could just be like stuffed dolls.
Yeah.
Not and you, the podcast. Dave.
Dave. Okay.
Me anyway.
All right.
You're not
it's
a stuffed
doll.
It's
also like weird to listen to someone for like, I don't know,
years.
8 years, yeah, whatever. And then also like then regard them as human beings as opposed to just like bit boys in your
car ears. Voices.
Yeah. It's very funny how people perceive what I'm like, which isn't what I'm like. Essentially my public persona is one of get away from me because in my previous podcast, I learned very quickly that having a two-way relationship with a lot of these fans is really problematic and difficult. So I have a very shut the fuck up, go away persona.
Well, also, I think it's Dave on Twitter. I mean, Dave on Twitter is just like, I mean, it is. It's a rage purge. And so
I love it. It's people, one of the only things saving me, honestly.
It's great. But so people are like, is he a psychopath? Like, how do you go in a van? And I'm like, Dave's actually a genuinely normal, nice guy. Like, he's furious.
Yeah.
But everybody should be furious.
Everybody should be furious. Everybody should be. People are like, you're yelling and you're angry. I'm like, right, I'm having the natural response to what's happening. You're not.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. Exactly, right. Exactly.
Right. That's why I like when like you like just to some like kind of like official COVID denier. What I mean by that is like someone in power who's just like, it's fine, it's nothing. And you're just like, you're a piece of shit. I'm like, thank you. Like, it just like really, like there's like...
the valve.
Yes, there's, the valve. Again, in the basement, in that like 40 floors below basement, there's like a furnace that is like, it's like the fucking Ghostbusters ghost thing.
Thank you.
Right?
We just watched
and you're,
that.
You're the EPI, EPA guy letting out one ghost at a time.
Yeah.
That is so true. That is, if people don't recognize that we live in the society where right now we're going to release, we're releasing the ghosts.
Yes.
We are releasing the ghosts and we're like, this is, look, we can't afford to keep it plugged in for that long. It's like, these are ghosts.
No, we literally just took over Iraq and we're like, see, it's fine. and the riots are just starting, and we're like, no, it's going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the stage we're in. Everybody lied to get here, and now we're like, see, it's all good. And you're like, well, okay.
And then in fucking Crawford, George W. Bush is like, that dog's face needs another whisker.
I know that dumb bitch Peyton. I need the layers and levels. But I will say this. It's interesting, though, because of that and that idea of, like, that rage, I noticed that socially I have a lot less patience for people. Yeah. Meaning, like, when somebody is... Like, we were talking about even, like, we were dealing with, like, having to run into some family members. We were supposed to go see family. And where I was like, I don't have patience to be nice to that person. You know? Because that's that feeling of, like, because of the way they think about things. And that feeling that, like,
We could say this much. One of my relatives is an anti-vax, Fox News-pilled person.
That's so weird because you're white.
What's weird is I'm Jewish, so there shouldn't be any people in my family.
Yeah, technically.
Well, I didn't sign up for it. You know what I mean? These aren't the people I said. I'm not married to the crazies.
Well, I have a minister in my family, and we usually get together on Labor Day. And this year, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? I'm like, I'm not gonna with the abortion thing, I'm not going to be able to be nice to him. Like, you guys want to have a really shitty Labor Day? I'm going to tell him he's a fucking idiot. Like,
right.
By the way, Labor Day, not a good day for that.
Not a day to be talking about the anti-abortion.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. But it's, I don't know. I just find, like, or like even just socially, you're kind of doing shows or like, or also to the pandemic where I'm like, why are we all pretending shit is normal and cool and good? Like, I was talking to someone on a show last night, and then it was like, he was talking about like going to JFL. And I was like, you know, none of it matters anymore, right? Like, I get that he's happy, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, we should not all be spending this much time talking about this thing that does not matter. Because
I was thinking about it with car commercials. Where I'm like, stop acting like it's like the family vacation. It's like, what are you? Your children are in danger. Like, and they're still like, this car provides a great like canoe roof. You're like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, it is. It is amazing to watch. And like, and the friends that I have who are aligned with how I feel are like, those are the group texts where you're like, this is my like place to go to just send things that are just like dystopian, terrifying shit that's happening. And then, you know, and then the other are like group emails that are just like, hey, what do we have in this hot tub party? And you're like, yeah, no, I'm like not there. Okay. Like, so you have these, and it does suck because it now is kind of so binary with a mask too, where it's like, I'm going to wear a mask in the store. And the other people are like, I'm going to look at you like you're fucking crazy.
I know.
And it's just like the most awkward society they've kind of just let us live in. And we're all somehow living in it. But it's just, it's trash.
I know. Someone DM'd me and told me I was a coward.
What?
Yeah, for, you know, I wear my mask.
I was like, drunk.
Be more specific. Be more specific. Why are you a coward?
I know, right? Well, because I was talking about wearing my mask in somewhere and how like no one was wearing masks. You know, and I was like bitching and moaning. I was like, you fucking kidding me, right? And this guy's like, you're a coward. And I'm just like, yeah, babe, I'm a fucking coward. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm afraid of everybody. Life is trash. Trust nobody. Like, he thought he was getting me by calling me a coward, and I'm just like, are you not afraid
they,
of everybody?
They call you a coward or a fear monger, and you're like, I just don't want it. Is it a problem that I just don't want to get sick? I'll fucking wear this thing not to get a cold. Like, what the fuck you talk? I just don't want to be sick, you giant baby. Put the fucking mask on. People are the biggest babies in the fucking world. They're like, everybody put a thing on my face. They're calling you a coward. It's fucking crazy.
It's like, why are you DMing me? It's also like there's a different world because, you know, again, we talk about hatred and things we don't like. I have no shortage of things I don't like, but it does not occur to me to go to a person's Instagram, look them up, and send them a message about something they do that I don't like. It just doesn't. Yeah. It's not how I choose to, like, I'm just like, I don't like it. You suck. Bye. Like, it doesn't really. Whereas, like, people go out of their way to message to be like, fuck you. And it's like, all right. Like, did that feel better? Did you release the ghost? Is that you releasing the ghost?
They're super threatened by us because we're still wearing masks and acting like it's happening. and they want to pretend like it's not happening. So we're a reminder, like, no, it's not over. Yeah. It's not, everybody's not fine.
Yes. Do you know what it is? It's, I think about this a lot. My dad is fine with me being vegetarian. He's never said anything. I've been a vegetarian for almost 20 years now, but I do think he thinks it's a more ethical position than eating meat. And so he'll do these little pinpricks every once in a while. These little thing, he'll say these little things because I think that is his consciousness trying to work out the contradiction in his head that he sure. thinks that like it's a more ethical position to not eat meat, but also he just loves a steak. He loves a kosher Frank. Can't get enough of those kosher Franks.
So yes. worth it.
Oh yeah, just grilled in the oven, just thrown in the oven at 425 degrees. Oh, nothing Jesus tastes Christ. More delicious than a plain Hebrew National kosher hot dog, 425 degrees on an untoasted bun from
what Pathmark. In the fuck is
nothing
happening?
Nothing more delicious than that.
He's broiling hot dogs?
Yeah.
I mean, it really couldn't be shaped more like an anus. It's like the ends. It is basically like, would you like some bread and rectum? And like to have it like in the sweatiest form where you're like, really, let it sauna. We're going to sauna these dogs.
Right.
Boil. So I think these people cannot hold two contradictory. I think not. It's not that they can't hold two contradictory thoughts. I think the contradiction is playing out in their heads because they can't deal with it. They know that one position is like follows peer-reviewed science and that they don't want to do that because they want to go to a fucking bar without a mask to have a Miller Lite or whatever. I don't know.
Which is like the thing where I'm just like, I get it. Like I want nobody wants to go to a bar and drink a Miller Lite more than I do. That is like, you are talking about the only thing I want. Everything I do is to just go to a bar and just be like, oh yeah, it's good. And yeah, I mean, it's like, that's why I'm just like, yeah, but it's not, it is, look, it's just not worth it right now to do it. And, but that is the separation. It's those who are just like fucking, I got a friend, a good buddy of mine who, you know, until he was a little irrational, seemed rational. And he just said to me, he's like, I'm done with COVID. And I was just like, what are you? I was like, do you understand how that is just not anywhere near how anything works? And he's like, I'm done. It's over. And I'm like, but you don't do that. I mean, we like that fucking gif of the dog sitting in the firehouse. It's just like, it couldn't be more and more accurate. It's just like, dude, you don't get to sit and be like, I'm done with the fire. It's like that. No, it is around you, dog.
But did you leave it? Like, were you just like, did you engage? Did you kind of get into an argument? Or were you bye.
I mean, I'll push it for a minute, but it is just like.
They get mad.
It's exhausting. Yeah. And so you kind of are like, look, I am already like a pariah to this person. So I'll give a little bit of the pushback. And then just go, yeah, okay, you know?
Yeah.
There's also now the people who like, I think I'm immune. Because it's like, if you've lasted this long, like, party's like, maybe? And like, those people are now, you're starting to be like, you're dangerous. Like, they're like the bad guy when they get the mask. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't like this new you.
You're right.
But this is why Dave's anger, the righteous anger of Dave Anthony is like acceptable rage. Whereas this, the rage of people trying to work out a contradiction in their head and that the frustration of those two thoughts, like rubbing up against each other.
Yeah, like, the friction in their head.
Tectonic plates. Like, and the rage is an earthquake that comes out.
Okay, you are giving us metaphor today, honey.
Listen,
you're serving metaphor.
I am serving metaphors. The metaphor works. Their rage is just like is not acceptable because their rage is a rage of like they can't figure out the math in their heads. Whereas you figured out the math, you're like, I know what it is. And the people I'm screaming at the people that are making everything worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Making things much worse.
It is a bit of a fruitless endeavor.
100%.
I mean, I really look at it like, I mean, this has happened to me. I feel like a bunch of my life.
Yeah.
Like with Obama, I was like, yeah, this isn't good.
Oh my
this
god, you and Andy honestly need to sit down.
The whole time, and there were when I was on this old, I used to have a podcast called Walking the Room, and the Greg Barron. I remember one point I was like, "Well, what's happening now is Obama's not doing anything. He's helping the rich. The poor are suffering, and this is all going to lead up to a battle between fascism and socialism in like 10 years." Because that's just, it just made like common sense to me. When the housing crisis was happening, I was telling my friends not to buy houses because it's all about to fucking fall apart. And they were all telling me I was fucking crazy. I just been here and people have sent me messages, old Walking the Room fans being like, I thought you were nuts. Huh. But now I think it just happens all the time. And that's how I feel like I'm sitting in this place. The difference now is that there's an immediate threat because the government is making it so that they want my kid to get sick. They're trying to get my child sick. That's what the government is doing. That's their plan. Immunity, which isn't a thing. It's not possible with a coronavirus. There's no such thing as immunity. It mutates and evolves. So they're trying to get, so I have an immediate threat on me as opposed to the other things where I was like, I can just sit back and watch. I can sit back and watch right. Iraq be a right. disaster while it's coming, knowing it's going to be a disaster. This one is an immediate threat. Yeah. So it makes me more angry and more disturbed. But
and when you
well,
say your kid, you mean me.
Yeah. I was also thinking that. Well, it's funny because I was going to ask you that too, because I was wondering, you know, how has becoming a parent, and also how old is your child? Is your child like 10?
He's 13.
Okay, so this is a person. Okay, so, yeah. You know.
This is a full bar mitzvah age
This
person.
Is a bar mitzvah
it's papa. Time for the Hebrew Frank.
Boil him up. Boil him up. But, you know, when we talk about rage and also just, you know, when you watch shit crumble around you, there's both, as you said, this immediate threat, but then you're also like, oh, someone watches me now. Like I'm a model for someone now.
Yeah.
You know, like you've obviously, you know, you've changed Gareth. I mean, Gareth has learned and grown through your time together, let alone, you know, 13-year-old human. Like, has it made you more reflective in terms of how you process and put out?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like, he doesn't know my bigger fears as far as like okay. COVID, or he doesn't know my bigger fears as far as like climate change. Like he doesn't okay. get any of that.
Okay.
He does know that I'm like, we just went on vacation and we were the only ones wearing masks. Like okay. we were walking through a city and no one was wearing masks. And so I was like, too many people put your mask on and we didn't eat inside and they thought I was crazy and I made them double mask on the plane, but we didn't get COVID and everyone else I know who went on vacation got COVID.
Yeah.
So we just went by the rules the scientists tell us. So he thinks I'm a little over the top about my concern about COVID, but I'm also like, yeah, but you know, we don't know. I keep saying we don't know what happens to your body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you can get it and be fine, but we don't know what's going to happen years down the road. So I just try to temper it. I mean, he hates America.
Well, he's an anthem.
I 100% just instilled that in him. I remember we were driving. He was like 8, and he was learning about Martin Luther King in school. And we were driving down the highway, and he said something about Martin Luther King. And I said, you know, the FBI tried to kill him. And, you know, they told him to kill himself. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, yeah. The FBI wrote a letter to Martin Luther King and said, kill yourself. And he's like, what? And my wife's like, you can't tell him this yet. I'm like, this is exactly when you tell him. Exactly when you tell him. He also did, so I did a dollop on Mick Fleetwood, I think that's, I can't remember his name.
Not Fleetwood.
Mick Fleetwood. Walker Fleetwood, who was the first black baseball player in the 1800s. But everyone, it says Jackie Robinson is the first, but he actually wasn't the first professional. And so...
When Finn did,
they had pick someone to do a report on for your class that you really respect. And all the other kids, there were like 3 kids in the class did Jackie Robinson. And then my son stood up at the end and was like, okay, so your guy isn't the first black guy. Here is the first black guy to play baseball. And everyone's right. like, wait, what's happening?
What? What the fuck?
And he reads his report. But that's what it should be. Like you should have the real knowledge. like Jackie Robinson did something great, right? He went through fucking hell, but at the same time, don't erase the other guy. Like it's a whole, right. It's a whole right. thing.
Right. Well, we need to be raising white operatives. This is what I'm saying about like the white youth.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be utilizing Finn now. Like Finn is getting at that age. You know, we need to get him on some Reddit boards, like sniffing people out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs yeah. to be out here.
Undercover. You want to send him in undercover
yes.
to these incel groups
yes.
to change them from the inside.
Yes, that's what I'm yes. trying to have happen up in here.
Well, all young people who are concerned about the future should be infiltrating the Pinkertons and Raven and the law enforcement groups that are going to be the big problems. Like, you get inside of those motherfuckers and then you give
there
information.
It is. Yeah.
To the groups they're going to be doing the work.
Or yeah, Donnie Brasco, Dynamics. The cops.
Yeah. yeah.
Boston Dynamics reprogram yes. those murder no. dogs from the inside.
It's like, how are we not fucking furious at Boston? What's going on? It's always Boston. It's like, MIT came up with a gymnastic drone. You're like, what? Please stop doing this? Also, I feel like those videos where it's like people shoving down the robots hard to see what they do are going to come back to bite us. Those robots are going to be like, remember when you treated me like a little asshole? Like, get out of here, robot. Like, yeah, now what?
Those fucking robots, the first time you saw them, I was like, yeah, they're going to have guns on them. You guys ever know they're going to have guns?
Well,
gonna,
you saw
and I was
one.
Like, look, they're like dogs. I'm like, they're not like dogs.
Did you see the walking machine gun the other day?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to put it other than it's just like a little walking machine. It's just yeah. like, okay, so it's over. It's just done. Like, there's no, like, we don't even get to, like, try. It's just going to be like, Jesus Christ, this robot with legs, it's got guns on its back.
I mean, we've all seen the movies, right? The rich guy eventually puts guns on robots.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know Bezos has a fucking warehouse full of these robot dogs with guns on them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, have you noticed that Amazon, because I'll watch like any action TV show, anything. And it seems like Amazon's whole thing, like I was like, Jack Reacher, you got Jack Ryan.
You got Terminal List.
Yeah, like, and I was like, it is what rich Jeff Bezos wishes he was, which is
yeah.
like army man who can beat up everybody. And I was like,
totally.
This is, if I was Jeff, like, this is the channel I would make too. If I was like, I'm a rich nerd, I want
Bosch. Yeah, just exactly. white. Yeah, totally. And he is. I mean, like, it's really great to watch, like, old Elon Musk gets, like, a lot of shit because he's like, I'm Templeton, you know? And it's, like, kind of like, you're like, look at this weaselly little dude. But old Bezos was also just like, ah, let's go. And now he's just like, raw. He's fucking bald, jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just got super yachts.
Yeah, looks like Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I mean, we really are, like, the idea that we're, like, we have Lex Luthor and we're like, this is interesting.
That's what it is. We are all spectators, just kind of be like, oh, yeah, this is, like, we saw, like, I started reading Chomsky and Zinn, like, 20 years ago or whatever, and I'm just like, uh-huh, okay, I see this coming, too. Oh, I see what's going, uh-huh, uh-huh. uh-huh. And I'm just sitting here, like, watching it. Like, I'm not just sitting
yeah.
here. Like, I'm in DSA. I do a lot of, like, mutual
You knock
aid.
On those doors. You do
I
knock
do
on
a lot,
those doors.
I do a lot
you
of do. Stuff. But I'm just saying that, like, in federal, global level, you're just kind of just, like, sitting back being like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, rubbing your chin. Like, like, oh, wow.
Well,
I didn't think that would happen, but, like, I knew it could happen, and it is.
When to realize it's happening and to actually be like, wow, it's going to be really, really, really difficult / impossible to stop it. It's pretty uh-huh. tough.
Yeah.
Because you are just like, fuck, they really have a lot of weapons, don't they?
Well, it's also like not knowing the depths of stupidity. Like, I love zombie things and sci-fi stuff, but it was always like, and I used to joke on stage where it's like, I would survive the zombie apocalypse because there's no way a zombie would get near me. Like, in every movie, it's always like, Sharon, are you okay? And then Sharon bites your fucking arm.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see how humans have handled COVID, and you're like, oh, I see how we all become zombies. I see how we all become zombies.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about anything.
Nobody gives a shit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the zombie would be, like, eating your neck, and you'd be like, is Darren okay?
Exactly. Like, that's what it is. It's like, and it's almost just like, that ain't her no more. That ain't her no boy.
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife got into a little disagreement one time because she asked me if I would kill her if she turned into a zombie. And I was like, oh, I'd fucking cut your head off, like, immediately. And she'd be like, but yeah, it's me. I'm like, it's not you. You're gone. I would sink an axe right into your skull. Just bam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't understand why she'd be upset by that.
I will say this. The thing about zombies is that in those worlds, you just assume that they're not coming back. I can understand. I can get in the head of the people who like chain, like a loved one turns and then they chain them up somewhere.
No.
And then always the good guy comes along and is like, what? Why'd you chain them up? It's like, well, you don't know. Maybe they will find a cure in the future.
Hell
you can
no.
understand that kind
That's
of...
That's what I hate about the end of Shaun of the Dead. When he got
change.
Nick Frost playing some damn video games with him, I said, you about to die. You about to die playing Grand Theft Auto with your zombie friend. Because it ain't coming. He ain't coming
you
back.
You don't know.
He decayed.
You don't know.
He is decayed.
He's dead. He's not coming back. He's dead.
You don't know what science... You don't know what science...
I do.
Andy, don't do that.
Wait, I got a question before we have to take a break, but I have a question for you guys. Okay, we've been talking mostly about rage, and I'm curious because that's been my primary emotion since I got introduced to the Holocaust way too young, and so rage has been my primary emotion since age 6 or 7. Okay, and I've had to through therapy, definitely that's helped, but also like just like driving to Los Angeles. I think like a couple months in, Naomi's like, can you not scream at these people? People, it drives me nuts. They'll be in they'll just open their door into the lane. They've just parked and they just throw their door open into the lane. And I have to like veer around them very quickly. And it drives me insane because I'm like, why didn't you just look? You have a rear view mirror. Okay. Anyway, the point is, and Naomi's like, can you not scream? And so like, I'm like, oh yes. Okay. I understand. That makes the car trip unpleasant for me to lose my mind.
Let's listen to Dave scream while we drive instead.
Yeah. That's right.
That helps. That's a focus. It's a focal point.
I'm wondering how you have both. Gareth, it seems like you have, that you have healthy ways maybe of dealing with the rage. I don't know. But, like, how do you both...
Well, he's a fuckboy.
I take it and use it as fuckboy energy. It is my gas. I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, I was at my brother's a few weeks ago... And I had watched Hypernormalization again, Adam Curtis stuff. And
wonderful documentary.
And I was just sort of explaining how fascinating it is how suicide bombing actually started. Like the roots of how it got to like, oh, you actually can wear a bomb and go into a crowded place and still go to heaven. And I was probably about 3/4 of the way through it. And I just like looked around at 4 faces that were all horrified. Like everyone was like, what? Like that my nephew's like 17 and he was there, and I was like, boy, this is real. And I stopped. I was like, all right, you know, we don't need to. Anyway, but I don't know. It's like, it is very difficult. I mean, what I think it would be better if you could be in full community group mind where everybody was furious too. It really is hard to channel it. I don't know. It fucks with my dreams. I dream about crazy shit.
Yeah.
I have like these stressful dreams about like masks or like fighting or, you know, like, so I guess that part of it comes out there. You do what you can as far as like helping, you know, certain organizations. But even then, it's just like, I think to some extent, it's almost like we need, like, the fact that Christian Smalls is asking for a full-on strike on Labor Day, when you'll be with your minister, is like one, like, there's just little things where you're like, well, there's just, like, some stuff where like, maybe if shit like that can, like, if that goes well, then maybe we can start... But for the most part, I don't know. It is just, you're just sitting around. It's fucking stressful.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you do?
That's so funny. People are always like, you're so angry on Twitter. Like, Twitter's my way of blowing off steam. Like, I go on there and make fun of people and talk shit and then leave and feel better about, you know, it's like, it's venting. But you know, I just like to go out. I like to surf. I like to ride my bike. Like, I like to go out and just do exercise-y type
things. Yeah, being in nature. That's very
California. Yeah, being in nature.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. As a New Yorker, I think that rage is my default, and I also think rage is community. Like, I realized that in moving to LA. Like, a lot of New York is like, you communicate via complaining. You know what I mean? Like, it's all like, was the train here?
Kvetching.
Yeah. Yeah, kvetching. You're kvetching. And then I noticed that, like, that's what I'll do in LA, and people are just like, good vibes only. You know, they don't want it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And it's not even that I'm that upset. It's just more like, that's how I know to tell. Like, if you ask me what's going on, what's more interesting? Everything's good, or like, let me tell you.
Californians really don't like to discuss things. They really don't like to talk about things. And also during COVID, I definitely realized like how many people don't actually read or don't actually like try to find information. They just go, well, you, someone tell me what to do. And it's just, it's such a wild sort of thing.
Yeah. There are many people who are happier not knowing. And you're like, yeah, for right now that I get it. Yeah. But there's going to be a day when the information is going to be fucking kicking your door down and taking your goods, or like you're going to be like grabbing your things in fire. Or I had dinner with a friend of mine when the day Uvalde happened, and like I don't even remember what I was saying, but I was not in a great mood. But I was still like whatever. I mean, it is, you know, like I wasn't like this is all because it's like just another arrow in the quiver. Or is it a quiver in the anyway?
No,
but then like 2 days later, she was like, it just was really like, I don't know, you kind of like ruined the meal by talk. And I was like, oh, I don't even remember what I said. I'm like, what did I eat? She was like, well, you're just like talking about how everything's totally fucked. I'm like, okay. And what did I say that was a problem for you? You know?
You've been kidding.
Were you hanging out with a white woman? Stop hanging out with white women.
Yeah.
I agree.
A school full of children just got killed, and you're not supposed to fucking talk about it.
Well, and this was the day, too, where you were just, you didn't fully know what was going on, but you were like, just not right. It's not like some, they're fucking lying.
Yeah.
Everyone
knows it at this point, that every statement made by a cop is going to be a lie. There is not one
until proven not a lie, it's a lie.
That is the thing. Like to me, if you walked away from Uvalde, like to me, that was that for like all my friends who maybe don't pay attention to stuff, who don't read. I can't. This is the we gave a friend a ride home last night before I went to Naomi was at a show and I went to pick her up and drive this friend home. I read a bunch of articles on how to safely drive someone home. And I'm like, okay, so we all have to wear masks and these windows have to be down. Yes. And this one doesn't have to be down, but it would be better if this, like, what's the airflow in the car? I read all this stuff before doing it. And I'm like, okay, it took me like 10 minutes to go through this stuff just to be, so we know we're safe. All right. But like, all the people who don't do that kind of stuff, to me, Uvalde was like, hear it, like it doesn't, like
it doesn't get any clearer.
A waiter with a silver platter thing, like this is the world. This is the world you're living in.
Yeah.
Here you go. I'm opening up the little like top, and now I'm serving you this beef Wellington of dystopia. And this is the world you're in. So
and people were still like, oh, there we go. Look at that serviette, my shirt, and have a little bite. No, can I catch up?
Little You know?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to take a break and help people because we've been helping ourselves. Okay? All right. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Dave Anthony, Gareth Reynolds here to help you handle your scandal in these streets, okay? Gareth is an F-boy. Dave is an angry man who cares.
I thought... Okay, keep going, prosecution.
You have been tarred and feathered with the F-boy designation. You are not walking out of this without...
All right, it's fine.
You go to too many clubs in the middle of this country, okay?
Excuse me.
I see your clips. You be out here.
That was from months ago.
Oh, is it? Because it looks like you be out here in these streets, okay?
And then
you're like, look at my cute click cat. And then you'd be like, I got jokes. And then you'd be like, I gotta go back to LA. That's like my theory.
I mean, what I hate about it is how it's not wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, what's our first question? Right, what do we want to handle?
We got questions from Twitter, Instagram, voicemail, our favorite.
Yes, yes.
This first, I thought we would start off with a softball.
All right, give a softball.
This comes to us anonymous from an Instagram direct message.
Okay.
Naomi, you prompted, this is a while ago, you prompted in an intro, you're like, hey, send us your questions about blah, 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 blah. And then you said, a coworker who's cray.
Okay.
So someone did. They
I
sent
did
us
like that.
A
I
question.
Like I like to hear about crazy coworkers.
And this is weird enough that I thought it would be a fun one to start off with. I work with someone who is always talking about her alcoholic husband and his disgusting habits. Parentheses, like jerking off on the floor next to their bed and snot rocketing on their bathroom wall.
Jesus!
Wait, what?
I thought... What?
Snot rocketing on the bathroom wall?
Dave calls ejaculating snot rocketing. That's why he's confused. He's like, they're doing it on the floor and the bathroom?
And the wall and maybe even the ceiling.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck? So you're like, okay, all right.
Continue.
I thought for a second, when I get stuff like that, like I'm like, this is fake. But then there was more stuff that I can't read. They're like, please don't read this part. That makes me think it's real. So that's
okay.
Why. They just got married this year, and she's worked with us less than a year. We've talked to our manager, who has already spoken with her about oversharing. Although my manager is overly nice and does not discipline the staff well. Discipline is in quotes. I don't know why. We get along and all, but she often makes people very uncomfortable with her nonstop talking about her relationship issues and every issue imaginable. Not sure what to say or how to help her. Advice would be appreciated. Thank you. Fan of the podcast. Anonymous.
Wow.
So I had this happen.
Wow.
I was working in New York at a building across the street from the World Trade Center. We were like waiters in Deutsche Bank.
Sure.
But it was like the executive bank dining area. So, you know, it was all these fucking rich and famous assholes. And one of the guys I worked with was having problems with his marriage, and he just kept talking about it to the point that everyone was just like, okay, dude, I just can't. And one day I said, you know, you really should talk to a therapist. And he said, well, that's why I have you guys.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, that's not why you have therapist is so you don't do this to people.
Right.
But that's what it sounds like she needs. She needs a therapist, and someone needs to gently be like, yeah, you should be talking to like a professional about this.
But if she doesn't have health insurance, she should go on Wife Swap.
Yeah.
Because that's the best way to also point out the flaws of a spouse. I mean, that is one of those things where it's like you do expect people to just know, like, to take cues from previous experience and life cues and societal norms and stuff. But it's like people don't like, I mean, the truth is that she's definitely going to be damaged because her fucking husband is jacking off next to the bed while she's in it.
That's fine.
I mean, that's like frat shit.
That's fine. You get on the floor.
That's a fuckboy. Yeah. That's why you have that little extra pull-out bed. It's not for guests. It's like, all right, honey, I'm going to go into the J bed.
Okay, what's worse?
I'm going to the jack sack.
What's worse, jerking off on the floor next to the bed or shooting snot rockets onto the bathroom
wall? I'll tell you what, if he fucking whacks it next to the bed and then is like, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and you hear one of those, you're like, oh, back to back.
I mean, but obviously, too, I think it's also like, because here's the thing, I agree, like, saying, like, you need to go to therapy. Because here's the thing, she may not, but I think that kind of stuff will shut it down talking.
Yeah, right.
That's because it'll be like, oh, because I think people, you know, they'll bitch and moan. And again, like for some people, it's like complaining is just a thing to do, not kind of realizing how it sounds. Because I think women and that feeling of being judged can be extra, it can add a shame to it. And I wonder, and I don't want this person to be ashamed, but I wonder if it's like, it sounds like your husband doesn't respect you and is pretty awful. Like, I wonder just like an honest, direct response as opposed to what I think I'm sure a lot of people do at work where you're like, haha, or like, oh, no. You know, you just kind of like brush it off and try not to keep the conversation going. But I bet if one person was like, he sounds like a disgusting asshole. It would make you not tell people because you're like, oh, they think I'm crazy, you know
it's a lot like when I was talking about how suicide bombing it's just like enough blank stares make you go like, oh wait, I shouldn't be telling people. But that was my laying on the floor jacking up. But that is true. I honestly saying it is a very nice way of actually saying it. Saying have you thought about going to therapy is a way to show that it's coming from a more nurturing position, mm-hmm. but is also like, this is crazy stuff you're saying to us.
Right.
So like, that might be the best thing to do. It's also bullshit when, like, I mean, and this is just how it always works, but a manager or someone in the position of authority has no interest in using that. But like, he's a nice manager. It's like, well, yeah, well, you also have to, like, your manager, they have to just fucking say something. They have to say, look, this is not okay.
Right.
If you're cool living with it, that's cool. Good luck. Godspeed. Right. But we can't hear that.
Yeah. It's like, it's so disgusting. I'm like,
that's not water cooler talk. Hold on. When I worked in the office, that's all I talked
about. You should have seen Chad just ejaculated so much last night while I was trying to sleep. What did you guys do Tuesday night?
You guys see the game?
You guys watch the big game?
By the way, Chad is like a couple of weeks away from shitting next to the toilet instead of in the toilet.
It is going to get to that point.
Is it a 15-year-old boy? Is she married to a 15-year-old boy?
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
But that's what's next. Then Chad, the next thing Chad's going to do is Chad's going to be like, all right, so I can whack off. I can snot rocket. You know what, hon? I'm a little sick of going all the way to the bathroom to snot rocket. I think I'm going to put a bucket near the bed where I defecate. And she'll be like, oh, well, I'll just let my coworkers know about this because this is fucking trauma.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, she's not okay. Because remember, she said they've only been married a year and she's worked there less than the year.
That's crazy.
This is not even a job where she's known these people for a long time and this is a change in her life. So I'm like,
she has no one to talk to.
She has no one to talk to. And she is also so uncomfortable and unhappy that she can't even get through 8 hours without breaking this up.
Therapy is a good way to do it. Especially now. When you did it back then, I could, like, there was, it was much less, you know, embraced by the regular public. I feel like now that would just be a much easier, like, pull her aside and just be like, hey, you know, the thing you're talking about, I don't know. It's very difficult, I think, sometimes for us to know what to say. Have you thought about going to therapy for this?
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. I also would be like, it hurts my heart when you tell me these things. Like, I just, and I'm not saying this as a joke, but like, what you're saying is fucked. And it's like, and I think she may not, like, she knows she obviously it's not great, but I don't think she knows how
self-aware. I don't know, like, what I get from, like, when you tell someone that, like, that means you're not self-aware. Because other, like, that's something, like, I, if, like, you did gross shit like that, Naomi, I wouldn't tell anyone. I would be like, what the fuck? I would, like, that is embarrassing on me. Like, that.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Exactly. Like, she doesn't even see, I'm like, you don't realize that this, that's what I mean, like, hurt my heart. Like, it hurts the thing that you go home to this.
Yeah.
And she doesn't see it
just
in that,
like,
way.
Feces everywhere. And she, like, has to put on, like, plastic gloves.
That's my question, too, is, like, does she have to clean this stuff up? Ugh. That's the thing I'm also dealing with. It's like very upsetting, and I just want her, honestly, person who wrote in, play this for her. Play this at work, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously, work is loosey goosey. Turn on the pod.
Yeah. If it's like a supermarket, go to the PA system and play this over the PA system. Announce the specials,
and then
right?
Just be
Twinkies,
like
Twinkies 25% off, whatever, and then
bananas 2.59 for two, 2.59 a bunch. Also, Candy, you need to hear this. She's just like, what's going on?
It's not good, girl. This ain't good, girl. You deserve more.
We don't know you. And you could be abysmal. You deserve more.
I don't know if she does deserve more. I think that she has no healthy sense of shame.
Cut this part out from when you play it for it. Don't play this part.
Let's do the what?
Okay, here we go. This is a voicemail.
I love a voicemail, you guys. 323-524-7839. You got to keep it to 3 minutes. You know we ain't got time for this. Okay, you're going to get cut off.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. I love you both so much. Really appreciate your relationship and what you share with everybody every week. You're definitely going to get to hear where I'm at emotionally because I'm a crier.
Babe.
So you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I've actually been with my partner for 4 years and he's totally great. We're getting married, but his family sucks. He grew up in an abusive household, and he's the only one of his family who turned out okay, in my opinion, which is understandable, but it still sucks. And then half of our relationship has been in the pandemic, so I haven't met all of his family. So I'm supposed to meet a brother in particular, I'll talk about, in mid-May, that I'm pretty...
Uh-oh.
Worried about.
A little older.
He fucking sucks. Like, I don't. I've always hated this guy. Like, I'm so sorry if there's background noise. I live on the busiest ass street. But yeah, he just fucking sucks. Like, he's always been controlling of my partner and rude and mean about everything he tries to do. He, like, berated my partner for becoming a therapist. Like, why?
What?
Just mind your own fucking business. But. So I hate this guy already. My partner is like a little delicate flower with PTSD, and I'm very overprotective of him. Whatever. But I just found out literally yesterday that early on in our relationship, like, he asked my partner to send a picture of the two of us, and he responded to that picture to my partner. I guess she doesn't share your value for healthy living, calling me fat, which, like, fuck this guy. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm obviously fucking mad about that. I can understand why he didn't tell me, because it was, like, 4 or 5 months into our relationship. I didn't even know about this brother. Like, what was I gonna, that would have been horrible. But I do wish she had told me since then. But, you know, whatever. So, anyway, like, what do I even want to ask? Yeah, I mean, obviously he's just misogynistic and sucks. I've been thinking, like, maybe when I go there, like, everything I say to him can just be, like, a callback to that. So I'll be like... if he goes in for a hug, I'll be like, oh, sorry, I don't think you'll be able to fit your arms around me. Or like, oh, I wouldn't want to break one of your chairs and like not sit down in his house. I don't know. So if you, you know, have any ideas for how to fill a few days with that kind of stuff, please let me know. But for real, like, what do I do with this guy? Like, I obviously don't want a relationship with him. I mean, with my partner, it's very complicated. Like, he's been trying to form boundaries with him for, like, 4 years. So I don't feel like I really necessarily have any say over that and what he does. But I don't want to talk to this bitch. So, yeah. I'm a spiteful hoe. If you want his address, let me know. We can go burn down his house. All right, thank you.
Okay, I love you. You a spiteful hoe. You my girl. You my girl!
Okay, this question was for me. Yeah, you don't have to like or be nice to your in-laws. Particularly brothers and sisters. Like, maybe parents, you got to be a little more... But brothers and sisters go fuck themselves. Like, he doesn't get to treat you like that. He doesn't get to treat your husband like that. Anytime that he makes bad stuff, comments about your husband, you fucking fire shit back at him. Like, there's no way you sit around and let him talk shit about your husband or you. You just fucking don't. And you draw a line and you let him know who that's who you are. And he can shut the fuck up or he can talk nice. But those are his choices.
Right.
That's it. He doesn't deserve anything else. He's not in your fucking life. He's a guy that your husband feels attached to because they grew up together, but he's a fucking piece of shit. And the best thing that can happen is that guy's no longer in your fucking life. Like, that's the reality of the situation. Someone who's mean can go fuck off. You don't need him.
It's so hard too, because it's like, you know, like when someone says something like that, it is, it's just like, it's hurtful. And I can't imagine someone showing me someone that they're in a relationship with and happy about and having any inclination to talk about him physically. Like, it's just like, how would you?
Yeah.
So it shows you you're dealing with like a damaged person, which she kind of established. To her question of like, do you just keep saying, like, you shouldn't, the problem with like that self-deprecation that she was kind of pitching is that it's not so directly correlated to what that guy said that he might just be like, oh, she's like that. She like, you know, brings it up on her own. Like if you were to be like, nah, I'm just not healthy like him, like 13 times, maybe he'd get it. But I mean, it essentially what Dave is saying is like, the question is, how do you change a fucking asshole? And if the brother can't, then you can't. And really it is just about like, how do you fully minimize that relationship in your orbit as much as humanly possible? If he needs to have a relationship with his brother for himself, then he can, you know, but I don't if my brother said that about someone that I loved, it would be hard to not have that change my opinion of my brother forever,
right?
Let alone the person that you're with. So it's a trash situation. I mean, the only thing you can kind of for sure say is like, look, it's so easy to get hung up on things like that. But if you are in a fucking good relationship and you love the person and he's a special flower, he's a delicate flower, like that is, look at that as the thankful part. And there's just a thorn on the side of the stem. But that outside of that, you know, you're not with a fuckboy. Which is, you're great. Lucky. But I mean, it is, it's just such a, it just shows you how fucked up, like that is someone who gets love from hurting.
Yep.
And you can just tell that right away.
Yep.
And so how the fuck are you going to navigate that? I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
Very
do you have to visit? Well, this is the thing too. Well, cause that's, and I imagine though, that she is going to support, right? She's supporting the partner who is trying to start a new relationship. Because I do think, I definitely hear what you're saying, Dave, but you know with family, it's easier said than done, especially if all these people are trauma bonded, where it's like, he may be compelled to repair this relationship almost as a way of like fixing the past, right? Where it's like, if we can get along, then maybe it's not like our childhoods were terrible. You know, whatever that can, like, do.
To me, that's gritted teeth, like, flop sweat, kind of like,
I mean,
I need to do this.
But I do think it is a question of, you know, especially, you know, you said you're predisposed to care about your, I mean, not care about, protect your partner. Like, you're like, I protect him a lot. And it's like, but also here's the thing, too. You have to protect yourself. And he has to protect you. So part of that, too, is having a conversation before you go into these spaces with these people that are like, hey, here are my non-negotiables, and here's what I need you to do for me in these situations.
Oh, you know? Actually, our couples therapist suggested this when we were going to visit my family. I remember there's someone in the family that is anti-vax, fox-pilled freak. That you have three levels. One level is like if they say something that like you can just like look at each other and kind of just like silently be like in your heads like what a fucking piece of shit, but it's just a look between you and your partner. And then there's a second level where they say something so fucked up and you just leave and you like look at each other and you're like, hey, you make an excuse and you're like, hey, we're gonna go. And then the third level is like they say something so egregious where you're like, I have to tell you about yourself.
Right.
Like, and you got to figure out beforehand, before you go on this visit, what will trigger those three levels?
Right. At which point are you like, nope, or then no with like a see you and no like, hey, FY fucking I, if you want to ever see me again, don't say X, Y, or Z, right? And you have to kind of decide, because it's true. Like, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, well before we were answering the question about, like, what do you do when people do some shit where you're like, half the time you're like, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to push you. But if it's somebody that you, that your partner insists on giving a try repeatedly, like a brother, it's like, well, no, we can't just play this off and let it go. You can't be around me like that.
He's a bully. And so if you quietly accept the bullshit he's putting out is never going to stop. But if you draw a line and go, so I'm this guy's new partner and I'm actually not going to allow this, it creates a new dynamic and that guy has to fucking deal with it.
Or you know what? Like you said, I mean, she went. She did this already. She went in May. So you did it. You did it once. If it was total bullshit, I would say you don't have to do it again. You know, you can say it's just, I don't, you know, I don't get out of it what you're trying to get out of it. That's just not for me. I tried. It's just not like the older I get, the more that one thing that I do properly is I don't just waste my time on bullshit I don't want to do that doesn't make me feel good. Yeah. And so if that is what it is for you, then just you don't do it. You sit it out and you like, if you have a good, healthy relationship with this person, then he'll be understanding and be like, yeah, you know what? I mean, he's a fucking asshole. Like you're not where you want to be when you're around him. He is just like a fucking, you know, not a real human being anymore. So yeah, you shouldn't have to be exposed to that, you know,
definitely.
You tried. You went.
Yeah. Please,
and I'm
honestly,
sure
come follow up with us. I want to know how
I would love
we need to know how it went. Cause it's like, that, I mean, the fact, because you said a few days, I was like, a few days is too much. I said, overnight at best. I was like,
2 hours.
Yeah.
That's a 2 hour trip.
That's a dinner. Yeah.
You know what? You could also, like, do little, like, revenge things. Snot Rocket in his bathroom.
Yeah.
Just like, watch
your
there.
Bring your poo bucket.
Yeah. Obviously, you should be bringing your poo bucket.
Yeah, everywhere. I think that's what you do. You just show up and just be like, so where should I put my fecal bucket? Oh, you know, because I'm an animal. You know what I mean? You know. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that it just is so, I don't know. I just like when someone says something like that, it's clearly someone who is hurt and wants to hurt so that others hurt with them. And that's like, how the fuck, you can't solve that easily, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But here's a question I have for you guys, for everybody, because it just kind of pinged me and I wonder what y'all think. Should the boyfriend have told her he said that?
No. That was my first thought. No, he should not have. Absolutely not. Yeah. No way in hell. No. No.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why it came up. If it was to, like, prep her in some way, then maybe. If it's like he might say something offensive. But I don't know why you would, you know, I've done that in many situations where you're like, and I'll take that and I'll die with it. You know, like
right.
Yeah.
This is an experience no other human will know about. I'll be
yeah.
Bummed.
So and well, I don't. Nobody needs to know that you think that about them or right. like whatever it is. Right. Or you're right. just like yeah, it can. So I would be very curious the context in which it came.
I know that's the one thing I pinged where it's like. Don't be doing that. And I don't know, you know, when a relationship is new or when, you know, you don't, again, I guess both of these questions have in common, like people who don't have a lot of other people to talk to. And so like, maybe you say something where it's like, he said this thing and it's like, nah, babe, that's not for her. That's not for her.
I've had many situations where I've been like dating someone who's maybe, you know, like whatever, not a perfect human. And it's time to meet the family. And the family is very loving and all that stuff, but it's obvious that maybe there's one or two members of the family who are like, yeah, what's going on? Like, you know, and when the person you're with is like, do they like me? You don't go, they don't like it. You know, you don't go, no, they're just not seeing it. They're not seeing it. You go, no, I like you. No, they like you. I mean, I'll go down with it. No, they like it. They like it. They like it. They fucking like, you know, I'll go down with the ship. So yeah, I mean, like to some extent that is kind of, I mean, it's always a bit prickly, but yeah, I mean, I feel like you definitely always are just like, they like you and I will like die on that, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe the pause and the high pitch part, maybe don't do that. Don't do that.
Right.
Like, do they like you?
Well, yeah! it's probably why I'm getting asked over and over again. Cause I'm like, yeah.
Now, not like Mickey Mouse. Do they like me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll go too deep. Yeah, they love you. They love everybody. Thinks you're charming.
Don't be daft.
Don't be daft.
I wish you could hear yourself. You're daft again.
So I think, you know, that's something just to think about. My sweet caller, who I appreciate calling in, and I know you going through it. Like, just like, you know, also it's like, hey. If he says some bullshit about me, keep that to him. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and that's about not just, that protects our relationship as well as makes me not feel bad. And so.
And that's a good way to just like, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, that, again, I mean, if you went once and you tried, I feel like you've done, it's time to tourniquet. You've done your part. Like that, you tried, and then that's basically what you say. Look, I wish you the best with people that you want to have a good relationship with. But that one for me is I don't really want to hear about it. If there's something that I got to hear, okay. But I just want to be left alone in that one because it's not going to help our relationship.
Yes.
That's for fucking sure.
Exactly. For real. God, family's very difficult. Yeah, Dave, don't you fuck with this minister. You shut it down. It's like nobody got time for this. We are all hurtling towards death.
You know what you do? This is what you do. And this should be a service. She should hire Dave to be like her uncle. And we should hire Dave just to be like an uncle who shows up to functions to just wreck it. Like just wreck the person back, you know, just so like he can be there. And then she'll be like, this is my Uncle Andy or Danny or Ralph. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then Uncle Dave Ralph? Can be there. Yeah, Uncle Ralph. And then Dave will be there and he'll slowly just take this person down to the level where he needs to be for her.
Yeah.
In these times of like difficult financial, you know, everyone's trying to have like 10 different streams of funding, right? Being a personal insult comic that you hire out for parties is not like your own personal Don Rickles that you bring along.
Dave would go more of the I'm going to hurt them, bro. Wouldn't it be like, hey, would you kill Don Ho for that shirt? It would be more just like, you're a little man inside who's terrified. And the guy's like, what? What are you talking about, man? I'm just trying to get some coleslaw. And he'd be like, yeah, it's not going to fill the hole in your heart. Hey, man, would you back off?
A psychological roast.
That would be.
Yeah,
I want to see more of that. Now, when Comedy Central or whatever, Viacom eventually brings us back. Can they be those kind of things where it is very like deeply Freudian?
Yeah.
A deeply Freudian roast.
Yeah, where nobody's laughing, but everyone's just kind of going. Wow.
We've brought in your mother. And then she just 20 minutes telling you all the way she
feels. Yeah, just like weird or just weird stories. Or like, oh my God.
You touched your pee-pee way too long.
The psychological roast is brought to you by Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're like, well, this is not matching up and doesn't feel right. Why are people wearing dresses?
Wearing dresses? Dave.
Gareth.
Dave.
Gareth.
Dave.
Gareth.
Thank you guys so much for coming and joining us on Couples Therapy.
Yeah.
We are just, we just adore you both so much. And for you to take the time is a true honor. And I hope that you had a good time, because we did too.
We did.
No, it's a great time. This is such a great show. And I, honest to God, when I first met you two and I found out you were together, I saw you together, I was like, wow, you really are such a great couple. And it is like very interesting to know how much work you put into like making this work. And it's partially why I am a fuckboy chained to a ball that I can't get off, because it seems like a real nightmare. But honestly, like it's very nice. And I think even hearing that phone call, it's like, man, there's just so many people who are hurting and it's getting worse and worse. And that's one of the things that I think, like, on our show, it's why it's so fucking frustrating, because it's like, it all comes from people just being unable to feel like they have, they're not fulfilled. And so it's nice that you're trying to undo that one podcast at a time.
I don't think you're a good couple.
All right.
I think that...
All right. All right. See, imagine hiring this for your barbecue. It's amazing.
All right, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.